Today, we continue this sermon series called Teach Us to Pray. In this series, we are examining prayers, those special moments when people turn to God and pour out their souls. We are looking specifically at the prayers that we find within our scripture. We are asking what these prayers teach us about the act of prayer. In the first week of this series, we looked at Hannah, who prayed for a child, then to Elijah, who prayed for his death, and then to Paul, who prayed for the congregation in the city of Ephesus. Today, we come to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings to look at the prayer of King Solomon. I would like to bring you this story in three iterations. The first will be the briefest. I'll call it the elevator pitch version. You know, what's the gist of this story? The second will be a shorter summary of the story, but the third will be a longer retelling. So the first version, the elevator pitch, it goes like this. As King Solomon slept, God came to him in a dream and asked what he wants. And in response, Solomon asked for the wisdom to lead, and God gives it to him. That's pretty much what happens in this story. In a dream, Solomon prays to God for wisdom. As we learned last week from Paul's prayer, there is nothing better to ask of God than for God's wisdom. Now, the second iteration of my telling of this story, it's a bit longer. Solomon is king of Israel. He has only recently ascended to this throne on the death of his father, the great King David. Solomon has traveled from Jerusalem to the shrine at Gibeon, where he's gone to make sacrifices. And during the night, as he sleeps, God appears to him in a dream, and God says to the young king, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon's reply in this dream is first to reflect on the relationship that existed between God and Solomon's father, David. Solomon recounts the warm affinity that existed between God and David, how God loved David deeply, and how David walked in faithfulness with the Lord. And as a result, God gave David a son, Solomon, to continue this monarchy. Solomon then reflects on his own lack of experience as a king and the awesome responsibility that he faces as ruler. So then, he continues on after assessing his own situation. Solomon's prayer to God is to ask for the wisdom to be a good leader. God is pleased with this request and grants it to Solomon. And in addition, God grants Solomon other blessings as well, such as long life and riches and victory over his enemies. In this telling of the story, we learn that when we pray to God, it is good to be able to frame our life in relationship to God. Finally, we come to the third iteration of this story, the longest version that I will tell. The year is 970 BC. Solomon is king of Israel, and at this point in history, Israel has not yet split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. That will happen after Solomon. Israel is still a unified monarchy. Jerusalem is the capital of this country. King David has died, and his son has ascended to the throne. And since becoming king, Solomon has entered into an alliance with the Pharaoh of Egypt. And to seal this alliance, Solomon married the daughter of the Pharaoh. And this was an act that was prohibited in God's law. Israelites were only to marry Israelites. And this marriage raises the question of how Solomon will lead his people and his nation. Will he lead them in the way of the Lord, or will he lead them away from the Lord? In our reading for today, Solomon has traveled from Jerusalem to a place called Gibeon in order to make sacrifices at the altar there. And Gibeon is one of the high places of worship in Israel. And during the night, while Solomon is asleep there at Gibeon, Yahweh comes to the king in a dream. And the Lord makes a simple offer. Ask what I should give to you. This is a generous offer indeed. God is telling Solomon to ask what he wants from the Lord. It's like as if a wealthy donor goes to a political candidate with a checkbook open asking, "How much do you need?" Who among us wouldn't be thrilled at having God pose that question to us? And although there's no guarantee, the clear implication here is that, yes, God will give Solomon whatever he requests, whatever it may be. But before answering God's question, Solomon first reflects on the relationship between his father David and the Lord. And Solomon recalls the great and steadfast love that God showed to David, whom Solomon refers to as God's servant. And why did God favor David so? Well, Solomon tells us, because David walked before God in faithfulness and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart. In another place in Scripture, David is described as a man after God's own heart. In return for his faithfulness and uprightness, God gives David a son, Solomon, who sits on the throne today, who continues the line of David. And Solomon is fully cognizant of how he got to where he is, how it is that he became king. And so, with this perspective, Solomon confesses that when it comes to being a king, well, he's only like a little child. There's so much that he doesn't know. And he recognizes that, yes, he is indeed a king. And a king is a servant over people. And specifically here, it is God's chosen people. And Solomon understands that he must be a good servant of God's chosen people. So, we're still in the dream. And only after demonstrating that he grasps the big picture of who he is and what his responsibilities are, finally Solomon responds to God's original command. That command, ask me what I should give you. And so Solomon says to the Lord, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people? And that is the essence of this prayer, to ask the Lord for an understanding mind. Or in other words, to ask for wisdom. Solomon admits that in order to be a good king, he's going to need this wisdom. He's going to need this wisdom to rule. And he hopes that this wisdom will provide him also with the ability to differentiate between evil and good. Because that's how he desires to lead. Last Sunday, we looked at Paul's prayer to the congregation at Ephesus and how Paul prayed that the people would receive wisdom from God. And wisdom, as I said, is a deep knowledge of God. It is the ability to hold God in your heart, to embrace God in such a way that changes one's life. With wisdom, Solomon can rule in a manner that embodies the Lord. Solomon's response pleases God. And God says to Solomon, because you have asked this, because you've asked for an understanding mind, and because you have not asked for yourself other things like long life or riches or for the lives of your enemies, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. Anyone else in this situation may have treated God like the genie in the bottle and asked for that wealth and power and more. But that's not what Solomon does. Because he possesses the humility to recognize that he needs God's wisdom to be a good king like his father had been. He needs the ability to be able to walk with the Lord. Now, to be honest, Solomon wouldn't have been out of line if he had asked for riches or power, because as a new king, he would need these things in order to establish himself with his people. Because it was common for a new king to inaugurate their reign with ambitious building programs and aggressive military campaigns in order to prove themselves as leader of the people. Remember, they're kings. They ascend to the throne. They inherit the throne. They're not chosen by the people. They must convince the people to choose them. But Solomon's different. He does not ask for these naked displays of power. I doubt that any of us are ever going to be called to be the monarch of a nation. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for wisdom for ourselves. Understanding God is the foundation of our faith. We can walk with God when we know God is in our hearts. And so when you pray, when you speak to God, ask for wisdom. Ask for an understanding mind. And wisdom in this context, wisdom doesn't mean smarts. Wisdom is the ability to align our lives with God, to lead with the confidence that we are walking in God's path. Wisdom is the ability to differentiate between evil and good. Now, as I said, this third retelling of the story is the longer version. But there's one more fact to take into consideration here. And that is the fact that this story takes place at Gibeon. Now, Gibeon was what was known as a high place, a worshiping location. The temple in Jerusalem had not yet been constructed, and Israel has this network of high places. Locations such as Gilgal, Shiloh, Beersheba, and more. Names that we've heard over the past months. In Solomon's day, Gibeon was regarded as the most prominent of these high places. But the problem with these high places is that Worship was not always limited to Yahweh. These high places could be like cultic food courts where one could worship the god or gods of one's choosing. And it is a bit problematic that Solomon, the king anointed by Yahweh, is even there. The implication is that he's bringing offerings and sacrifices to a god or gods other than Yahweh. Now, as a king, as a new king, this would be a good way to connect with his people, especially the foreigners who occupied his land and who worship foreign gods. However, as a follower of Yahweh, Solomon's actions, they border on sin. And so when God goes to Solomon in that dream at Gibeon, it seems that what God is doing is interrupting Solomon's sacrifices and stopping him from proceeding with this pagan worship. And it works, because when Solomon wakes from the dream, he appears to have seen the light. And so he doesn't make sacrifice at Gibeon, but instead returns to Jerusalem and immediately makes his way to the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is the locus of God's power on earth. And you'll remember how King David brought that ark. David was dancing before the ark. How he brought the ark into Jerusalem. And so Solomon makes his offerings there at the ark, because that's where he should have been all the time. Not at Gibeon, but in Jerusalem. Not with foreign gods, but with the Lord alone. By appearing to Solomon in that dream, God successfully redirects the path of this new king, reorienting him, setting him on a road that leads to God. King David walked before God in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart. Solomon starts out on a different path. His intentions are true, but he was headed in the wrong direction. And God's interruption changes that. I would like to say that Solomon was a perfect king. He wasn't. He made some mistakes, especially towards the end, and his rule became a bit heavy-handed. But overall, the people admired the wisdom of their king and regarded his rule with appreciation. This story is a wonderful lesson on prayer. When we pray, we should always ask for wisdom, the ability to know God in the depths of our hearts. But when we pray, we should not be surprised that our God has plans for us. Plans that we may not understand just yet. And God may be redirecting our lives to walk in the path of the Lord. And for this, we should be thankful. Amen.